For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, DMV Hoops fans? Typically, we focus on the sort of surrounding DC metro area for our combos on Believe in DMV Hoops here, but branching out a little bit further into Virginia for this one, I've got Liberty basketball star Kyle Rode. Kyle, for anybody who's not familiar with your game, 6'7", shoot the heck out of it. Really great player. Had a great fifth year here at Liberty, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. I think you're a really underrated passer, which I want to get to. And a career 39% three-point shooter. So congrats on a great run at Liberty, and it's fun to get to watch you play.
Yeah, man, joy to be on. And Liberty's been an amazing place for me to grow and develop as a person and as a basketball player. And so super excited to be on today.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're going to get into the whole transition from college to pro thing for everybody listening. But before we do it, we're going to get couple ad reads out of the way here, brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas, as well as Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, UFC, tennis, NBA, everything you can think of. It's the fastest and easiest way to place all your wagers, including live betting your favorite casino and card games. You can head to the website or use your mobile device to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Also, congratulations are in order. Saw you post today the master's degree. Very cool. Master of Arts in Executive Leadership. So congrats. It's another nice, product of this college basketball system. Is a super good degree to carry with you forever, too.
Oh, 100%, man. Liberty, they have a really good mix of in-person classes, online classes. So was super easy even as an athlete, kind of blending those two in-person online classes, and had unbelievable academic coordinators surrounding us and helping us every step of the way. So super grateful, especially that my school career is over now. But now it's a huge blessing, man, to have my master's degree and bachelor's degree already in 5 years. So super cool.
Awesome. For folks listening to this, by the time they'll hear this, they've probably already seen some of the post chatter from Portsmouth if they're basketball and draft fans. So you competed the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament down in Portsmouth, Virginia. I thought you played terrific there. I guess, how did you feel about how you played, and what was the experience like overall?
Yeah, man, just loved my experience overall. I was surrounded by so many good players, and every team had amazing players. So I wish we would have won the championship. That was my biggest goal going into the week, but super happy with how I played and represented myself. And like you said, man, like you always wish more shots go in, but at the same time, in an event like that, you just kind of want to show variety of your game and show what you do well, and show things you've been working on since the season's ended, and how your game can translate at the next level. So I feel like I tried to do that the best I could, and also try to win the game. So I'm super competitive. So even though we went 2-1, still super grateful how that went.
I think a lot of times when guys play at, an air quotes mid-major, the first question is like, how will the game scale up? And you just competed against guys that are, 4 or 5 year starters and all conference players at big time Power Five schools and more than held your own. So is that something you were glad to be able to show off to people? Like, hey, I'm as good as any of these guys, and I could have played on any of those teams if I'd have wanted to. I just wanted to be at Liberty.
Yeah, no, I think, Liberty operates as a high major, even though we're in a mid-major conference. And so I felt super prepared, felt like I belonged out there. And it was just a great experience, man, getting able to compete with some of those guys that you get to see on week in and week out that are in high major conferences and put up numbers, like you said, for 4 or 5 years now. So, but the guys on my team made it super easy, had some really good guard play, really good bigs as well. So Just try to find my spots, man, and fit in where I could and impact winning.
I'm really curious about the team selection process for that. I don't know if you have any insight into that, but it seems like, you know, people are kind of at the mercy of how the rosters fit together. Cause sometimes it's like, you might have three combo guards or three scoring guards on the same team. And then it makes it a little tougher, I think.
Yeah, no, I had no idea kind of how that process went, but I looked at my roster immediately and went on Synergy and saw how all the guys played and was super excited after I watched that, just how I thought we fit really well together. I had some elite defenders on my team, which was amazing. And I had guys that like Ray J and Tyson and Q that could really pass the ball and get others involved and make plays. So it was super easy for my team. And I got to watch a couple other games as well in nightcaps. But all around, I was really pleased that my team was selected the way it was.
I think, you know, a lot of times guys go into a setting like that and they worry more about what people think they can't do and trying to show off those things and prove people wrong, as opposed to, like, you know, really focusing in on this is what I do well and playing my game. I thought you did a great job of playing your game. And like I mentioned, you're, I think, a better passer than maybe people realize if they haven't really seen you play. The shooting obviously stands out right away, but you helped move the ball really well. Couple flashier passes in there too, which is cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that something you kind of really had to like focus on mindset wise of like, I'm going to do what I do and do what I do well?
Yeah, I think so. Liberty, obviously the personnel looks a little different when you're playing with high major guys. So sometimes you're playing a position up, probably at Liberty, than versus in this setting, got to play on the wing a whole lot. And I think in my previous senior year and my junior year, I averaged around 4 assists. So always felt like I could pass the ball. And this year just had so many playmakers around me to where I kind of needed to space and shoot and score a little bit more, because I didn't have Darius McGee anymore, and I didn't live the country in scoring. So, but you know, it was great, man. I felt like you said, just wanted to show off my strengths and continuing to work on things that I feel like I need to work on as well. And one thing I wanted to show was my passing, obviously, along with my shooting, and defensively that I'll battle and some things like that. So, still working on those things to continue to make them strengths at the next level and so on.
I think that's another thing that sometimes guys take a while to kind of transition to, is not everybody will be the 30-point per game scorer, you know, at the next level here too. And sometimes you have to be able to fit in around the pieces. And for you, like you mentioned, Darius McGee was maybe the best scorer in the country the last couple of years. Then, you know, you've had to play off of guys like that and figure out where to pick your spots and where to fit in. And I think that actually probably gives you like a kind of a leg up on some of these guys.
Yeah, 100%. Like I think, every year at Liberty, my role was kind of different, right? Like first year we went 30-4, and that team had just made a run in the NCAA tournament the year before. So they didn't really need a freshman to come in besides just do his role. And then year two, make it to the NCAA tournament and still have some veteran guys and just needed to find my spots. By the time year 3, 4, and even 5 came around, it was different roles, but more focus of the offense and just things like that. So yeah, at the next level, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's literally just what the team needs, because they probably already have established guys and can you develop into that and play.
What's the goal for you going into somewhere like Portsmouth? Is it just to get your name out there, get exposure to NBA teams, or are you trying to get feedback from them specifically? Like, I don't know, walk us through like why people play in something like Portsmouth.
Yeah, so I've heard the PIT just ever since I was in high school, how I mean, it was the 70th annual this past year, and so it's a prestigious prestigious event to play in. So I understand some guys turn it down, but I love competing, love playing the game. And I was telling some of my guys, like, we'd be working out anyways if we weren't playing, so yep. Why might as well play in front of every NBA team and in front of all these Euro scouts and just compete, man. So I think going in there, I just wanted to make winning plays, try to win as many games as we could, and also just go through all the interviews and process and really just get, kind of like you said, get some feedback and see where your game is against some of your peers, and go into the summer and you kind of have a better sense of what you need to work on, what you need to continue to improve as a strength. So I think it was a great process for me, a great few days, and I'll definitely be carrying it forward these next few months.
That's cool. The guy I do my Wizards podcast with, former Georgetown star and former Washington Wizard, Jahidi White, played at Portsmouth. And I asked him the other day, he said it was still one of the cooler experiences he ever had. So I think you're in good company there of guys that like the experience and kind of carry that with them.
Oh, 100%. I don't think I'll ever see three NBA teams in an elevator ever again. Maybe in summer or something if I wanted to do that. But yeah, it was so unique, man. It reminded you of AAU, but just kind of on steroids. And the city really rallies around it and has great public attendance as well. So thought it was really cool.
Any teammate or anybody that you really felt like you bonded or clicked with that you didn't know going into the event?
Yeah, so I really didn't know anybody on my team. Obviously, I played against the guys, and but you never really get 5 days to be on the same team. Exactly. Every meal you get to eat together. So it was kind of like a summer camp. So like. Got really close with Eric Dixon, my roommate, when I was there, and I couldn't say enough about my whole team. It's just unselfish, good guys. So I probably got to eat a meal with every single one of them. So it was really cool, and it just is like a unique experience, man. Like, we're all so busy in our daily lives, and you kind of get to slow down and play one game a day. Maybe y'all have a practice in there, but for the most part, you're hanging out with the guys and doing interviews and playing ball. So it was really cool.
And you'll see those other guys and have that connection moving forward, because it's other guys that'll, you know, be around in the area here too. Speaking of just sort of like adjusting, right? So even the best shooters, I think sometimes it takes them a little bit of time to go from the college line to the 3-point line. Like that extra foot and a half or whatever the case may be kind of can make a difference sometimes, but you seemed pretty comfortable. You took a lot of deep threes, I felt like, you know, the last couple of years at Liberty. So do you think that made it easier for you to kind of just move back full time to the NBA line?
Yeah, I think our offensive coach, Coach Johnson, introduced a 4-point line and our practices actually a few years ago. So we would track 3-point percentage from the four. So I know my senior year shot 41% from the 4-point line. And
not bad.
Past year, I don't think they have it statted quite yet. But credit to him for bringing that NBA kind of mentality of 4-point spacing and introducing it to me in college. So something I felt really comfortable with. I think even more so the speed of the game and the tempo was kind of something I saw when I watched the games back. Like a couple of them I rushed, my release, and there's once you get into game shape a little bit more too, some of those will knock down. And so just continuing to develop and grow in that, in those areas, but the line felt great. I was letting them go, so it felt really good.
So when you're there, is it NBA teams reaching out to your agent about scheduling interviews, or are they just grabbing you in the hallway? Like how does that work? How many teams did you interview with, and can you talk us through that process a little bit?
Yeah, so they coordinated with my agent, Ivan, and he did an unbelievable job. He's from Europe, so he was 6 hours ahead the whole time. So, but he stayed up. That was my guy. He had me seamlessly. They just contact your agent. You kind of just meet with them for whether it's 20 to 30 minutes. They're just trying to get to know you, and you might watch some film. You might just have some intro conversations and things like that. So it's a wide range. And had a handful of teams reach out when I was there, and so we got some great feedback as well, like we said. It was really cool.
Any crazy questions? They ask anyone to try to stump you or anything like that?
No crazy questions this time. It was kind of more of a hi, how you doing intro. But they did ask some good questions about some hoops things. Wanted to see if you knew the game and things like that. So it was really cool.
I'm going to ask you a question. I imagine they probably asking these kind of things, but what will you bring to a professional team, and what kind of role do you see yourself playing?
Yeah, I think obviously shooting is probably the number one thing I could bring to an NBA team right now. And everybody loved my size when I was there, so I got some great feedback and on my combine numbers and stuff like that. So the size and the shooting is probably my 1A. And then I feel like I have a really good IQ. So at Liberty, probably had a 3-to-1-ish assist to turnover ratio. So felt like I can take care of the ball and make great decisions if I get put into the game at a high level. And so that's probably my 1A, 1B. And we'll continue to grow in this new role and wherever that is I'm playing with new guys and different personnel. So guarding is something I'm really focusing on this summer. Just being able to guard 1-4 and be able to switch. So that's something I've really attacked and had some great guys and quick guys at Liberty that I'm able to go up against every day and things like that. So,
yeah, that's great. I think every team can find room for a 6-7 shooter. I would think that's always in high demand, but you mentioned the passing, and I think sometimes like people kind of dismiss some of assist to turnover ratio and stuff like that, 'cause guys are making like really safe passes, but you actually like, you throw some flashy passes and there are a surprising amount of like behind the back passes and stuff like that this year. And one, it's cool that the coaching staff allows it, 'cause it wasn't just coming from you. Like other guys feel, I think, empowered to do some of those kinds of things. But I don't know, talk about the passing a little bit just more for us here. Like, is that something you've kind of always had, or did that get better, you know, as you got used to guys or with the coaching staff and the IQ grew? Like, I guess, how did you get to be such a good passer?
Yeah, I think from a young age, I always loved passing. So sometimes I get in trouble for being too unselfish sometimes. But I've always felt like I had a great IQ for the game and the ability to anticipate and see a situation kind of before it happens really helps me. Ability to use Coach McKay is so good, empowering us to make the right play and playing freedom. So he really empowered me to make decisions and trust my instincts, which was really cool. So probably threw the most behind the back passes at the PIT this past week, even though some weren't even assists, but didn't turn any over. So that was good. So my coach didn't have to take me out. Right. But no,
passing the high risk, high reward pass, you know, the yes pass. Yeah,
exactly, man. So, but it was, passing has always been something I love to do. And yeah.
I think sometimes guys just get kind of pigeonholed into like, he's the shooter. But one, I think you attack closeouts pretty well. And two, you cut well. And I think those are things that they help with spacing, you know, beyond just the shooting, because it's something that kind of puts the defense on its heels and people have to reset. Is that another point of emphasis for you? Because I think that's something that it seemed like you got better at over time at Liberty as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think this past week really just tried to run the floor and see opportunities, because I, like I said, I had so many good guards that could make passes. So I wanted to make their life easier, and attacking closeouts, something I'm working on every day this summer, and making some of those difficult finishes at the rim or in my float game, or even if it's just to draw a guy up and dish it. So I feel like I'll be able to do that at the next level as well, and make some plays and use my IQ in that way, and in a way that I'm off the ball and feel like I can still come off handoffs and screens when I need to and make plays that way. But yeah, so I feel like I can definitely add some versatility besides just being a catch and shoot guy too.
Yeah, that's great. I love asking guys that are good shooters this though, just because I'm always curious and the answers are usually pretty different. Where do you look when you shoot? Is it front rim, back rim, middle rim? Like, what's your kind of aiming process there, I guess?
So it's so funny you said that. Like, I've had so many different coaches like tell you to do different things, and I honestly kind of just try to lock in on the rim. Not a specific point, or like, because I feel like I'd have to squint to try to look at one certain point on the rims. I kind of just trust my instincts. Get my eyes to the rim as early as I can, pre-catch if I can. And that's the thing I feel like I've really grown on as well, being at Liberty. Some of the pick and pop stuff, you're blind to the rim. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of exit screens and things like that. So where I need to really have good eyes and getting them back to the rim. So that's a really good question, because I've thought about that different ways. Like Coach McKay is a really good shooter, and he has a different mindset about that than some of the others I've heard. So it's really unique.
I don't think I've ever gotten the same answer to that question from multiple guys that can shoot. So it's always really, you know, I think that shows that there's a lot of different ways to go about it, and it's just sort of what works for the individual person too.
Yeah. And the next time too, you need to ask them, do they trace the ball in the air? So when I shoot, I try to 1001, and then I'll trace it in the air to kind of see if it's online or if it's off where it's going to land, but I'll trace it a little bit.
That's cool. Yeah, no, I love that. I always think lower body balance is like sneaky important for shooters too. Everybody focuses on arm mechanics and follow through and things like that. But I don't know, I feel like if you've got reasonable form and your legs are kind of under you and you're balanced, you've got a good shot of making a lot of shots.
Yeah, 100%. That's the first thing Coach McKay will tell you as a freshman, probably when you get to college is wide base or good base, and have it making sure your lower half is there, because he really doesn't try to correct shots unless it has to. So, but like you said, the base is an easy way to have a strong foundation, and everybody's kind of upper half is different. So,
yeah, it makes sense. Not that I would fault anybody for doing what's best for them, but if I were in a front office, I would look at a guy that played 5 years at one school and think that that's a positive. This is a guy that, you know, worked hard and earned his keep, and you know what I mean? Like, and kind of really like earned your spot on the team. You didn't shift for the next kind of easy opportunity. You know, is that something you took a lot of pride in, and something that was kind of an intentional thing? Like, I guess, you know, is that a product of Liberty just being a great place to be? Kind of what made that decision for you?
Yeah, I think a little bit of all of that, man. I think Liberty gave me so much. It gave me an opportunity to play Division I basketball. Obviously, the relationships I built there were second to none, and just had an unbelievable experience during my time. So I never thought about leaving, even in this different age. And I think so many times, like, people ask, like, what can the school do for them? And I tried to really serve my school and community here, and got so close with so many people, and just really through a lot of thought and prayer, like, it was always going to be Liberty, you know. And Coach McKay does an unbelievable job of being transformational instead of transactional. So no matter if you're a freshman or all conference guy, like, you get treated the same way. Which is really unique. So I was going to play for him as long as I could, and I have no more years left or I'd be going back. So I have nothing but good things to say, man. And yeah, hopefully that resonates with front offices as well. I got a lot of great feedback, and they kind of said similar things. So that was spot on. Yeah.
Coach McKay seems like a fun guy to play for. I like the energy on the sideline. I mean, you never know what guys are like behind the scenes, but it seems from what you've said, like, you had a pretty darn good experience with him.
Yeah, 100%. He's a player's coach, I'd say. He in practice, he's really detailed. Some would say detailed and demanding, but he really, once it gets to game time, man, like, you've put in the reps, you have the deposits, as we say, and when it's game time, trust those reps, trust those deposits you put in, and we try to get a great shot. Take care of the ball, and defense, be hard to play against. So that's like our main principles on offense and defense. So it allows you to play with a free mind. And yeah, so he's fun to play for. I love getting to play for him.
I doubt this factored into that decision at all, but I also think Liberty has some pretty cool jerseys. I think that would be, you know, looking good is not a bad thing. I love those cream and blue ones you guys wore a couple times last year, I think.
Yeah, those are always a hit with the fan. Those are the best ones.
I think, as you've talked about the defense here a little bit, and that's always going to be the question, is how switchable and things like that. But one way to counter that other than IQ is also just be tough. And I feel like that's maybe something you also don't get enough credit for. There's the Lipscomb game last year where, you know, you basically like split your lip open and then came back in and busted a bunch of threes on people. So you know, you're a tough dude, and I hope that's something the teams are seeing also.
Yeah, 100%. I think at Liberty this year, obviously the personnel looked a little different, so probably had to guard fives and fours a lot more than I was probably accustomed to. But I think that's kind of my mentality, is whatever the team needs, that's what I got to do. Find a way to do it, and be tough when you do it. Don't complain. And it also gave me great experience, like you said, to be able to switch, but also to hedge, because I know in the NBA, a lot of times too, those guards will even hedge now and get back to their guy, so to avoid the switch. So I feel like I got great reps at that, and so if that's what a team needs me to do, I can do that, but also I'm continuing to work on being able to switch in all different scenarios. And in the NBA, you know how it is. You're not necessarily trying to stop guys. You're trying to make it harder
slow
on them.
Down.
To,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah, anything you can do to make their life just a little bit tougher on their way to scoring a basket, I think is definitely worth it.
Exactly.
One of the things that you hear from people that they're hang up about, you know, drafting a senior or signing a senior as a two-way contract, whatever the case may be, is just an older player may not have as much room to continue to improve. I don't know. Do you feel like you still have plenty of things to work on and develop? And, you know, what's sort of at the top of the list of stuff to keep working on?
Yeah, I think in my time at Liberty, it's just been consistent growth, right? And I think the environment you're in really has to do a lot with the growth you had. And I feel like the habits I've put in into my life really translate into improvement. So wherever that may be, I feel like I can grow, like you said, and some of the strengths that I've just improved in the last year, couple of years is attack and close out, shooting on the move, making reads. I think kind of the next step for me is really attacking and finishing at a really high level. And a different, as roles change, you'll have to kind of change your game and add things too. So I feel like there's still stuff for me to add. I feel like penalizing some switches could be good. And like you said, becoming a great finisher when I'm making cuts and running the floor a little bit and playing out of some concepts like that. So I feel like there's a lot of room for me to still grow, but also at the same time, feel like I can go in and contribute in a situation and execute at a high level right now, which is really cool about being a senior and having so many high game experiences under my belt.
I think people always think about what adding a good shooter can do to their spacing, but less about what good spacing can do for a shooter. And I would imagine that you didn't see a ton of room the last couple of years, as everybody's got that marked on the scouting report. But being on like a spread out NBA court, I got to think it's probably fun for you to think about like, wow, am I really this open, you know, and having a few more easy looks, you know, that your teammates can generate for you too.
Yeah, 100%. It was just even at the PIT this week, I probably got 19 threes off in three games, and all of them felt not forced. You know what I'm saying? They were just guys creating floor space, guy tags here, I shake up, fill up, just running the floor hard in transition, get a corner three or a wing transition three. And so, yeah, like you said, the floor is so much more space. And when guys do run you off the line, I felt like I did a good job showing I could attack closeouts at a high level and either score and or make a one more pass or just connect an offense and continue it to allow it to flow.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this convo was just because I've seen stuff about you and different videos and things like that over the last couple of years. And like I mentioned, I do some Wizards coverage here too. And their GM recently said something that kind of resonates well with me too. Is just said, I promise this is not BS, but we're going to draft people first, not players. And they have to have the core characteristics that will work in this building. And they've talked a lot about character. And I think one that's just important in life to surround yourself with good people like that. But also, I think I've seen enough stuff that kind of exemplifies that for you. The story with Brogan Parsons, I think is really cool. And you know, I think I would encourage everybody to go look that up as well. But can you just talk a little bit about that for anybody not familiar? I think that's a pretty cool relationship you've been able to build through basketball.
Yeah, so I got to meet Brogan and his family when he was probably 12 years old, and he was just kind of getting into basketball as he was recovering from a tick illness that he suffered. But he probably watches more film and more basketball than 99% of guys in college in the NBA. Like he loves hoops, and he's got an unbelievable support system. So just in the last year and a half that I've known him, he's playing on an AAU team now. And so basketball the way is his normal. That's his language. He's amazing on the court. And so just to be able to develop with bond with him and his family has been probably one of the most meaningful relationships I've had at Liberty. So we'll work out this week and get a couple workouts in while I'm still here. But just super, super blessed that I got to be impacted by him because the joy he has every day in his life and then just how he loves the game really has inspired me, and I've tried to help him a little bit out too and give him some tips. So
yeah, that was cool to see, and I think that's one of those, like, again, it's not transactional, right? It's one of those really like profound relationships where you both get something out of it. And being a college student is a full-time job, and being a college athlete is a full-time job. So finding time to, you know, give back to other people too is, it says a lot about you. So I hope that's another thing the teams are recognizing as well.
Yeah, 100%. He was homeschooled too, which is nice. So I'd get my shots in the morning. He'd come in right after and get his work in. And then I'd go home, get some lunch, come back for practice. So the school being online for me really helped in that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I'm that's cool that that's kind of the new normal a lot of places to be able to have the flexibility there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Kyle, just close you out with some quick hitters here. What's one thing about you that people may not know, whether it's a guilty pleasure TV show or music or hidden talent or any kind of thing like that?
No hidden talents. I am married. I have a beautiful wife. We've been dating since we were 13. So I'm married for 2 years, almost three now.
Congratulations.
So, I have an amazing wife, Jess. I'm trying to think something just not as serious.
Is she a hoop fan? Does she?
Oh, she loved
watching a lot of basketball.
She was a tennis star though in high school, so she gets on the tennis court. And we're both super competitive, so the game either ends with her winning or me talking too much trash and we need to go home. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't have a whole lot. My feet are. I wear size 16. I guess that'd kind of be something different for a guy my height.
Tough to get shoes, I'm sure.
Oh, brutal to get shoes. Brutal to get shoes. But luckily, playing basketball, you get hooked up that way. Yeah, you get all your on court shoes handled. So
it's good.
So I'd say those things. Yeah.
Cool. I'm a tennis player myself, so your wife's in good company there. I respect her choice of sports as well.
I love that. I love it.
Maybe not as a talent necessarily, but something people don't know about you: the sleepwalking thing. Was this always a thing? Really? From childhood on, you've been a sleepwalker?
Yeah, that's crazy you know about that. That's so funny. So in season, it's a little more basketball related, more stress. It's definitely probably stress driven, but I'm always calling out plays in my sleep. And so I'm just locked in, man. So it's crazy. I've guarded closets, you name it. I've probably done it. So I've saved teammates before. Definitely something I got to work on.
You can tell these NBA teams, a ball is actually life. You are doing it 24/7 and you can mean it.
100%.
What's the plan post basketball? Everybody has to hang them up at some point. I hope for you that's a very, very long time from now. But, where do you want to be, 10 years down the road or something like that?
I'd love to give back and coach. I think basketball has been one of the gifts in my life, and I feel like we all have our talents and ways to give back. So it's my way to connect with people that you might not be able to connect with and things like that. So I'd love to be able to coach and at some point, but if basketball is not involved or I can't do that, I don't know, man. I love doing like entrepreneur type stuff. Like I had a pressure washing business the last few years here in Lynchburg, so that was cool. And I don't know. I haven't really thought about it quite yet. So hopefully
you don't have to for quite a long time here, I think. just kind of on that a little bit. Obviously only so many spots in the NBA, and it is a grind to get there, and you got to get lucky and get the right opportunities. And there is some maybe a path where you have to go to Europe for a couple of years first and do things like that. Is that something you're open to? Have you thought about Europe, G League, things like that? I guess kind of where do you see yourself in the next couple of years and what's the plan, I guess?
Yeah, I think everybody's ultimate goal is NBA. And like you said, it's so selective. So I think just this summer, I got some great advice. Just become the best basketball player you can, right? Like through the workouts, just off season, like you're going to become such a better basketball player and just continue to grow so much in your game. So literally wherever God has me is where I'll play and be all in 110%. So whether that's overseas or whether that's the G League or in the NBA. So we'll go through this process this summer, the teams and things like that, and see where the chips fall.
I love that perspective, right? Because there's only so much of this you can control. And the thing you can control is just play as well as you can and work as hard as you can. And then the rest of it is kind of, it works out how it works out. And I think guys get themselves into trouble where that's, I'm an NBA player, an NBA player only. And sometimes that's not everybody's path. So being open to that and being able to just, work on what you can, I think is a great approach.
Yeah, 100%. At this level, everybody can play, right? So I think focusing on gratitude and just where you are, being present, is something that's so important for us all, really. And so I'm just taking it day by day and working as hard as I can, like you said.
Yeah, I love that. Any social media accounts that people can follow?
Yeah, just my name, R-O-D-E, kind of stumps people. So there's no H and it's not R-O-A-D. So just Kyle Rode, you'll be able to find me on Twitter, Instagram. I'm not a crazy TikTok guy, so I don't really go on there.
I'm with you there. Yeah.
Twitter and Instagram are kind of where you can find me.
Very cool. Kyle, anything you want to leave listeners with or anybody you want to shout out before we close this one out?
No, man, this is a super grateful podcast, and just so fortunate to be able to play this game, and the gift that God's given me to talk with people like you, meet people, and just build relationships. And it's all from a silly game of basketball. So I just try to keep that perspective on life, and super grateful I got to do this today, man.
I love it. Yeah, we appreciate the time. Wishing you the best of luck along the way here. It's been really fun to follow. You're a great player. Seem like an even better guy. And I think that's a good recipe for long-term success. So we'll be rooting for you, and keep us posted on how you're doing. We look forward to following these things along the way. And if we can ever do anything for you in return here, just let me know. Don't hesitate to reach out. And good luck.
Thanks, man. 100%. Will do.
All right, everybody. This was Believe in DMV Hoops. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. I appreciate that. Hit the little like button if you're listening for us. And we're presented by betonline.ag, and we will catch you all next time.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.